Thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And you know, when you think of what God does, the Bible tells us that He breathes on us. You know, when Jesus was about to leave, the Bible tells us that He breathed on His disciples and He told them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And you can picture that moment where He is with them and He just blows. He blows from Himself. He blows the breath of His mouth, and He tells them to receive, and they receive the breath of God. They receive the wind of God. They receive the Spirit of God. And it's just a completion of what God intended to do when He made man in the first place. Remember, when God breathed on man, the Bible tells us that he became a living soul. So God had intended that he should breathe again, a second breath, which would make man a life-giving spirit. And you see, when God, through Christ, breathes on his disciples, he releases the Holy Spirit upon them, and they become life-giving spirits. Because the Bible tells us that the first man is earthy, the first man is Adam, the first man is of the earth, but the last man, the last Adam, is a life-giving spirit, is of heavenly. And we are heavenly beings, we are heavenly creatures, we are those that are from above. We are born from above. The Bible says that he that is born again is like the wind, is like the wind, as no one knows where the wind listeth or where it is going, where it is coming from and where it is going. So it is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Hebrews 1 tells us that God makes his servants as wind and his ministers as flame of fire. He makes his angels as wind and his ministers as flame of fire. So that tells us that there is a dimension to God that he makes us like the wind. He makes us to blow. He makes us to move, to be carried by him. He makes us to breathe life. That's why Jesus says that the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. They are spirit and life. And wind really is symbolic of the Spirit. And that's why even in Ezekiel 37, we see that God commands Ezekiel, "Speak to the wind, prophesy to the wind, O breath of God, come and breathe upon this mighty army, and that they might have life." And I pray even today that God will breathe upon us. God's wind will come upon us. God's mighty rushing wind will come upon our spirits, upon our minds, upon our inner man, that we shall be refreshed from above. We shall be strengthened from above. We shall receive a grace. We shall receive a renewal. We shall receive that freshness that comes from His Spirit. It's just like if there is a fire on you and God blows on you. When you bring oxygen to a fire, then you light it up. And that's what the breath of God does. When the wind comes and it breathes upon us, and the fire that is in us is made brighter and brighter and brighter, and we can blow, and we can go forth and declare the word of God. And I'm just thinking of how, when you know, we've been looking at how Peter, while Peter was still speaking, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon all those who heard the gospel. That means that his words brought about the wind. They became spirit and life. The words were not just words. And as the people heard them, the Spirit accompanied those words. And those words became spirit. And that's where Jesus said, "These words are words of life. They are spirit and life." And I pray that even as we continue to listen to the word of God, as we continue to sit at the feet of Jesus, that we shall experience that wind dimension of the Spirit. We shall experience that spirit dimension of the words of God. That the words of God are not merely just words, but they are spirit and life. And this is John chapter 6, verse 63. And this is something that we will keep reflecting on and always keep reminding us that these are not just words. When you listen to these messages, they are not just words. They are spirit and they are life. They carry the very substance of God and they bring life. Now, when we are in Acts chapter 11 and we are still seeing the contention that is there between the Jews and the Gentiles, and we are seeing how these people, yes, they have been called by God. Yes, they have been told, go forth into the world and make disciples of all nations. But you see, they are still stuck in their traditions. They are still stuck in their thoughts, in their patterns, in their, you know, in their dividing lines. Yet they don't understand that God's Spirit is for all flesh. God desires that all flesh to know Him, that all flesh to come to an understanding of Him. And He does not want these divisions in the church. You know, at times people divide themselves. Oh, I'm from this place. Oh, I'm from East Africa. Oh, I'm from the West. Oh, I'm from this tribe. Oh, I don't like your tribe. Oh, I don't, you know, oh, you're poor, or you're rich, or you're middle class. You see, there are many divisions that people bring. But you see, God is not after that. And God will always sponsor that which He has blessed. And this is something that you will see. And when we see what happens in Antioch, we realize that a group of radical believers who come, who ideally they have learned how to live in other places that are outside Jerusalem. And this is because they had stayed in Cyprus, they had stayed in Cyrene. Now let us read Acts chapter 11 verse 19. The Bible tells us that now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. Now you can see how they were still discriminatory in their approach. They preached to no one except the Jews. But, and this is why the scripture wants us to know that, you see, when you become like the wind, then it no longer becomes the same dimension. You move into new realms because the wind covers everywhere. Verse 20 tells us, but some of them who were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, and remember Cyrene is Africa, and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, they spoke to the Hellenists. That means they spoke to the Greeks, preaching the Lord Jesus. They preached the Lord Jesus to the Greeks. And these were believers. Remember, some were from different places. So as they had encountered others, and there was a reason why they were scattered there. You see, there's always a reason why God places people in different countries. You might be born in this land, but God just throws you to the midst of another bush somewhere. There's a reason for that. There's a reason, because it is by you being there that you can be a catalyst. You can be the one that they can see and have experience of the light of God in your life. Now, the Bible says, but some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, they spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. One of the markers that really you are called of God is that there will be results. There, God will always sponsor that which is according to His purpose. If you find that you are bringing people to God, you are evangelizing, you are influencing people for the kingdom of God, you are a representative, you are a prayer anchor, you are fulfilling the ministry that God has called you to do, one of the things that you will see is that God sponsors those who are committed to His mission. I always say this, if there is an interview and God is to choose between two believers, one who sponsors His work or one who is going to use that opportunity to spread the gospel, and one who is not, one who is just going to be selfish and live for himself, ideally God will sponsor the one that is committed to His mission. Why? Because the hand of God comes upon those that are committed to His will. So the Bible tells us the hand of the Lord, that means the power of God, the manifestation of God, the accompanying with signs and wonders. The Bible says, and as they preached, the Lord accompanied them with signs and wonders. So the hand of the Lord, verse 21, was with them. Why? Because they went and preached even to the Hellenists. They preached even to the Greeks. They did not stay in their barriers. They did not stay in their cocoons that, oh, me, I only preach to people that I know. No, they went outside the box and they preached the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, and a great number of Greeks, these are the Hellenists, believed and turned to the Lord. Now, verse 22 says, then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them that all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. The Bible tells us, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Remember when we looked at Barnabas, we saw the description of who he was. He was an apostle. He was sent, and he has this spirit that goes and encourages people. Remember, he had given away his land. He had brought it to the apostles' feet. He had grown in faith. He had grown in wisdom. And he is a preacher. He is a prophet. And one of the things that we see that he encouraged them. He is a son of encouragement. He encouraged them. He came and encouraged the church in Antioch. And ideally what happens is that God was establishing another base of the church. Remember, the church in Jerusalem was scattered. The church in Jerusalem was facing persecution. And later on we see how Herod reaches out his hand to kill James, you know, to kill the leaders of the church. And so the church in Jerusalem has been scattered, and many of the believers left, but and many went to preach, but only the apostles were left. The Bible tells us the apostles were left in Jerusalem. So the church has shifted base, and God desired that now this church should not just be a conglomerate of just Jews alone, but it should encompass the different believers, the Jews, the Gentiles, you know, the Hellenists. Everyone needs to be a part of this message. And that is why God starts to sponsor it. He releases his hand on them. He releases the grace that even when Barnabas comes, the Bible tells us he can see the grace of the Lord. Can people see grace upon your life? Because grace is not just hidden. It is evidence. There is evidence to show that God's grace is on you. Now, verse 25 tells us that then Barnabas departed for Tarsus. Remember, he went and sought for Saul. Saul, remember, had been sent away from Jerusalem because the Jews wanted to kill him, and he had been sent to his hometown to Tarsus. So Barnabas, when he saw the hand of God, he encouraged them, but he was like, no, I cannot enjoy this alone. I cannot just teach these people alone. I need to find Saul. And the Bible says that he departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the Bible says, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, when we look at that word, the Bible says Christians, and the Greek word there is Christianos, and it means followers of Christ. That means that these believers, remember, they were not just Jews. They were now both Jews and Greeks. It was the mixed multitude of the church. It was the desire of the church of God that the church be a mixture of people. It shall not just be Jews alone. It shall be a mixture, both the old, the young, the male, the female, the Jews, the Greeks, because there is no distinction to God. We are all the same. We are all have received the same breath of the Holy Spirit. That's why yesterday we saw that the same gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured upon them just as it was on the day of Pentecost. God had to make sure that the same way the wind came upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost is the same way it came upon the house of Cornelius, and they spoke in tongues. And Peter has to say, who can forbid this from being baptized in water. But what is it that makes the church? What is it that grows disciples? What is it that makes people to be called Christians, to become Christians? It is when they are taught the word of God. One of the greatest blessings that God will always give you is to give you a teacher. He gives us the Holy Spirit as a teacher, but not only does he give us the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Jeremiah 3:15 that, "And I will give you teachers or pastors and shepherds after my own heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." One of the greatest gifts that God gives his people is that he gives us teachers, he gives us pastors who feed us with knowledge and understanding. What we have, at times we have head knowledge, but what we need is understanding. What we need is understanding, because wisdom and understanding shall be the stability of thy times. If you desire to be stable, if we are going to be stable in our walk with God, what will mature us as believers is the teaching of the word of God. And that is where we must always be at a place where we are taught. We must always find our teachers. The Bible tells us that your teachers shall not be removed from you. God desires that teaching becomes the foundation of the church that makes us to be established, because it is when people are taught that they can live the Christian life. If you look at the pattern of Jesus, of even Jesus, Jesus focused on teaching. One of the things that you realize that when he went to his hometown, and he could not do many miracles among them because of their unbelief, the Bible tells us that he did not rebuke them. He just marveled, but he went around the villages teaching, because he understood that the reason why these people cannot receive, they do not have faith, they cannot experience the miracles, is because they are not taught. They don't have understanding. The Bible tells us the next thing, that he went around the villages and he taught them, and after they were taught, then the miracles, they were able to heal, and he is able to bring the miracles. One of the things that brings us into the faith dimension, into the miraculous, is the teaching. The thing that grows believers into maturity is the teaching. Think of Paul. Paul always started his letters with teaching. The first two chapters or three chapters will always be doctrine. Then after that, then I will tell you, okay, now don't steal. If you are stealing, no longer steal. Live with your wife with understanding. Oh, husbands submit to your, you know, wives submit to your husbands. Husbands submit to one another. Husbands love your wives. Why? Because he has already given them the foundation of the word. The foundation of the word is what enables that you can teach people the principles. If you start with the principles without the teaching, then there is no basis, there is no backing that enables them to stand firm. Always be there where you can be taught. And the reason why the believers were called Christians is because they are taught. For 1 year, Saul and Barnabas, they taught this church. They taught them. And the Bible says, as many as believed, the grace of the Lord was upon them. They heard the word of God, and they were called first Christians at Antioch. Verse 27, as we conclude chapter 11, the Bible tells us, "And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." So we can see this church becomes established, and even prophets come to them. And what do we see about a church that is mature? They give. There is that freedom. Think of the early church. They had everything in common. And now this time, a prophet, one of the prophets, Agabus. And remember, this Agabus is the same prophet who came and told Paul that God shows me by the Spirit that the owner of this belt will be tied hand and feet when he goes into Jerusalem. And Paul says, "Yes, I am ready to even die." So he was an accurate prophet. And this is one thing that we were learning yesterday, that God is always willing to reveal to us when there are going to be shifts, when there are going to be supernatural shifts in our lives. God is able to reveal such truths. And you see, God reveals to them that there's going to be a famine. And what do? They, according to their ability, they send help to Jerusalem, to the church in Jerusalem. Why? Because they were persecuted. They were not able to farm. They were not able to do anything. They needed help. And this is something that Paul will keep doing, even with the churches in all over Asia that he will preach to, that he will encourage them to support the church in Jerusalem, to be able of their substance, to send relief. And this is what they are able to do. And we've always said one of the marks of revival is not only that we find that people are committed to God, that they're living holy lives, there's purity, there's fear of God, but also there is also generosity. And we can see that it is in Antioch that the believers are first called Christians. Are we Christianos? Are we followers of Christ? Do we have the marks? Do we have the grace? Are we like little Christs that people can see Christ in us and they can believe and they can know that if we want to look for Jesus, we can find him physically in you? Why? Because you have the Spirit of Christ and you demonstrate Christ to the world. I'll stop here and I pray that God will give us more insight into this. My brother and sister, you're welcome. As God speaks to your heart.
Thank you, Dr. Mohammed, for the word. I think it's a great passage attending the mighty things that God can do in the life of believers. And as you're preaching, because the Hellenites or the Gentiles, as the Bible states, non-Jews, the were non-believers. It's amazing to see that when they receive the man of God amidst them, God does great things and mightily in their communities. And all of that. I think the most important thing is not our past, it's not our blessing, it's not our race. As you said, it's differences that we hold. Some may say, because I was born in a place like Asia, well, we are all Muslims, Buddha or Hindu. So there's no chance of salvation because all I've known is this. But from this passage, you realize that once you offer yourself as a factory ground for the word of God, it doesn't matter the differences. It doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter your past, doesn't matter your earthly education. God will manifest mightily in you. Amazing that it's not in a Jewish land.
Yeah.
And we were first identified as Christians.
Mm.
But in a land that was referred to as a land of non-believers.
Mm.
Amazing, you know?
Yeah.
I was just reflecting on that and saying, let's just prepare ourselves.
Hmm.
No matter what has happened in the past, no matter what we go through, sometimes we feel like we've crossed the line.
Hmm.
And by day, and you'd be curious to know which thing can need that God can forgive me so that you avoid it. But sometimes people tell you, oh, if you blaspheme, there is no going back. And you feel discouraged.
Mm.
But you learn that when That's not the God we worship. It's we just need to prepare ourselves. We need to be ready, and He will be there. Mm-hmm. But you see the act of generous giving during the season of the drought, when the Christians around contributed and gave towards those that were in Antioch, and you can see that they generously gave. Of course, they entrusted their gifts with Barnabas from their heart to support fellow Christians who were going through a challenging time. I think that should be the spirit in which we support each other.
Yeah.
Not living in a fallen world whereby a fellow Christian is lacking, and for you indulge in excesses without being the feeling or the sense or the reason in extending a helping hand. So I would stop here, but yes, thanks a lot for the word.
Amen. Thank you for those additions. Brenda, any additions?
Thank you so much. Nothing to add from my side.
Okay. Amen. Thank you for that. And just how you put it, it's in a foreign land that they are first called Christians. So that tells us that it's not where you are. It's not where you come from, but it's where God has desired to meet you, and God can meet you anywhere in the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for a chance to reflect, to sit at your feet. And I thank you for your wind. I thank you for the breath of your spirit that has come in a fresh way to us, to rejuvenate, to bring life again, and we receive of your spirit again. I thank you for the challenge of God. Can we be Christ-like? Can we be Christianos? Can we be Christians? Can men see us as we are taught the word of God, as we grow in understanding, as we sit by your feet, as we stay true to your word, that, Lord, we can represent Christ and we can be vessels of honor that you can use, and that men can see Christ in us, O God. May we be the light of the world. May we represent the light of the gospel. And indeed, in everything that we do, may our hands, our feet, everything that we are, bring life and bring multiplication to the kingdom of God. I remember those that are not feeling well this morning. We pray for those that are sick, O God. We pray for your hand over them, O God. We continue to thank you that you are the healer. Nothing is impossible with you, O God. And I pray in this moment that, Lord, that you touch your servants, touch your children, O God. I pray for blessings, O God. There are many that have lost jobs and have lost opportunities. That, Lord, you remember them, O God. Provide, O God. Indeed, there are years of famine, O God. But, Lord, you are the provider, and you're the one that is able to make a way where there is no way, O God. We look unto your promises. They are yes and amen, O God. Our hand is looking unto you. You are the one that always strengthens us, O God. As we go ahead to do our various works, may your presence keep us, sustain us, and watch over us. We look unto you. You're faithful and you're holy. Blessed Redeemer, guide us, refresh us, and renew us. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.